Welcome to the Marketing That Generates podcast, hosted by yours truly, Lauren Powell. For over a decade, I've partnered with business owners around the globe to create and implement their digital marketing strategy. Working together with their teams, we generate more leads, more customers, and more revenue. I'm here to make your business growth simpler by making online marketing simpler. Every week, I'll be interviewing other business owners about the strategies that are keeping their marketing relevant in the long term, so they're not hammered by monthly algorithm adjustments. So are you ready to generate more leads, better leads, and more sales-ready leads online while making the most of your oh-so-valuable time? Then this is the podcast for you. Are you tired of being promised the magic pill that's going to solve all your online marketing challenges? Well, this podcast does not promise quick overnight fixes, nor a one-size-fits-all marketing formula. Instead, it will empower you to think differently and more strategically about your marketing so that you get better results. So whether you're a business owner, solopreneur, or an aspiring entrepreneur, listen in and subscribe for zero fluff and actionable takeaways. And for bonus resources, go to marketingthatgenerates.com. Holy smokes, we have officially recorded 20 podcast episodes since starting the Marketing That Generates podcast earlier this year. So to celebrate this awesome milestone, I am running an amazing giveaway just for you. Here's how it's going to work. First, go to iTunes, look for the Marketing That Generates podcast, and then submit a review. So how you're going to do this is, one, you're going to roll your fingers over the five stars and hopefully give us a five-star review. And then you are going to actually type in a review of what you think about this podcast, what you like most, and just share some insights with anyone else who might be searching for a similar podcast. Why do I want to do this? Because your review helps other business owners find this podcast and listen to this amazing content we're producing. Okay, once you do that, then I want you to screenshot that review you left, email it to support@bixamedia.com, and then that way you'll be entered into the contest. So here's what you can win. We will choose three winners at the end of next week who are going to each get $100 to Airbnb, $100 to Airbnb, so that you can find some time to relax and take some time off from that business that you're running and get some recharging time in. So super excited about this. Go to iTunes on your phone, roll over the stars, leave a review, and then send in a screenshot to support@bixamedia.com, and we will choose winners at the end of the week. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I so appreciate you. And without further ado, we'll dive into this week's episode. So this week's episode is a little bit different than some of the past episodes you've heard, which have been interviews with other business owners just like you. This week, I'm going to let you listen in on a free training on social media that I did for our free Facebook community a few weeks back. I wanted you to get a sneak peek of what it's like to be a part of the community and the extra content and extra education you can get by joining. So take a listen. Know that this is rather informal training, unlike some of what you hear on this podcast, which is a lot more produced. But I think you'll find a ton of value from it. You'll get a lot of behind the scenes into my social media and how I approach it. And if you'd like to join our free community, make sure to visit the show notes for this episode where you'll find a link, and all you have to do is request access and a team member of mine will approve you within a day or two. Okay, enjoy. Today, I am hoping to zoom out, cover social media from a really high level to help you make better decisions about where you should be playing on social media, what the whole purpose of social media is in terms of a marketing strategy in your business, and how to be more effective on social media. So when we're thinking about marketing, I really like to think about it as a numbers game. So, you know, I need a certain number of qualified eyeballs. In this case, we're talking about social media, so we're not necessarily talking about your website, to get a certain number of qualified leads, and that then turns into a certain number of customers or clients. Okay, so when we think about marketing from this standpoint, what we realize is that we need to reverse engineer. Okay, if we need a certain amount of clients every month, need a certain amount of clients every year, then we need to roll up to a much bigger number to get a certain number of leads. And then we know how many leads we close, how many get into clients. Okay, so let's say you close 50% of your leads.
let's say you need 50 clients or customers a year. Okay, then we need 100 qualified leads. Then when we look at that, let's say only 5% of all our eyeballs are qualified leads. Well, then we need a lot. I can't do math right now because it's the end of the day. What would that be? 5,000 or more. We need a lot of qualified eyeballs just to get those 100 leads, just to get those 50 customers. So when we think about social media, where it really fits in is, how do I get those qualified eyeballs? And social media is going to play a small role in getting those qualified eyeballs, but how do I get more of those so I can then take those followers and turn them into qualified leads and then eventually clients? So think about social media as a place where you are aiming to get qualified eyeballs and you are trying to convert those qualified eyeballs into qualified leads. And that's really where social media is going to sit when it comes to your marketing funnels, if you will, or the customer journey that people take with you that moves them from qualified eyeball to qualified lead. So when you think about those numbers, one of the mistakes I see people make is, oh, I'm posting on social media. How come I'm not getting clients? Well, the role of social media really isn't to turn people into clients. It's to turn them from qualified eyeballs into qualified leads. Eventually they'll become clients, but that mechanism, that sorting mechanism, that sales mechanism is going to happen different way than social media for the most part, especially if you're a service-based business. Yes, there will certainly be some content that is more likely to encourage people to become clients, encourage people to become customers. But unless you're selling a product, there's almost never the click on an Instagram post and then someone purchases the product, or click on a LinkedIn post and then someone buys a product on your website. It just doesn't work that way if you're in a service-based business. So when we go back to this slide, and we know social media is here to generate qualified eyeballs and then to turn them into qualified leads, well, there's two roles that we need our social media playing. We need it taking people from followers into leads. And when I'm thinking about leads, there's two types of leads. There's marketing qualified leads and there's sales qualified leads. So for me, a marketing qualified lead is going to be, okay, I'm going to turn my follower into an email subscriber. I then have their contact information where I can keep following up. I can stay top of mind. I can keep putting content in front of them until they're ready to move to what I would consider a sales qualified lead, which is going to be, I'm going to jump on a sales call. I'm going to make a sales inquiry. I'm going to have a conversation with you about becoming a client. So when I'm thinking about social media, I'm thinking, how do I turn more of my followers into either marketing qualified leads or sales qualified leads? And I want to be doing both. And we'll talk about a few different ways you can do that. So that's one of the roles. How do I turn my followers into qualified leads, both marketing qualified leads and sales qualified leads? The second role is, I need to get in front of qualified eyeballs. Apologize again for this typo that I did not change before this presentation. So social media needs to get you in front of new qualified eyeballs, especially now when social media is a very crowded place. It can be challenging to get in front of new accounts, especially if we just publish and pray and hope that new accounts just find us. They're our ideal target audience and they just find us. We just sit back and hope that happens on social media. The likelihood of that happening is slim to none. If you just publish and pray, if you just say, oh, if I just post amazing content, people are going to find me, that typically isn't something that works right now very well on social media, especially crowded platforms. Yes, on TikTok, if you listen to Wave Wild's podcast episode, you can hear more about, yes, how that's a possibility on TikTok. You can publish, TikTok puts your content in front of new people who don't know you. Great. Like, that's one place where you could play. Same thing with Clubhouse a little bit right now because it's not so crowded. But for the most part, if you're publishing on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, which are popular profiles that I know people in this group are using, the likelihood of you getting in front of new people, new qualified eyeballs just by publishing is slim to none. So we need to think about, okay, when we want to get in front of new qualified eyeballs using social media, how are we going to do that? What levers are we going to pull in order to do that? And I'll talk about some possible levers that we can pull in a second here. Okay. So actually, let's go back to that. Let's talk about this. So, pardon me, guys. It's the end of a long day, a lot of meetings. So my tech skills right now and toggling back and forth are... So we know social media is going to play two roles. We want to get in front of new qualified eyeballs. We want to turn those qualified eyeballs into leads. When we're talking about leads, we want email subscribers or we want inquiries. So what are two really great ways for us to do this? We need to put content in front of people that's going to turn them into an email subscriber. So offering lead magnets of any shape or form, discounts, coupons, free guides, video series, joining a free community, getting a free call with you, joining a free training. There are so many lead magnets you can put in front of people, but promoting those on social media and giving someone enough incentive for them to leave the platform they're on and then give you their email address is a great way to turn people into marketing qualified leads. Another, in my opinion, underutilized tool is the DMs. Now, I'm not saying like be super spammy and like spam a bunch of people, like those messages you get on LinkedIn where it's like, hey, I don't even know you, but let me go straight to the sale. No, the point of social media is to be social. It is to build relationships. So you can take someone from a follower or from someone you even don't know yet who isn't following you into a stronger relationship, one where they start to know you, one where they start to like you, one where they start to trust you by using DMs. So the same way you would have a conversation with someone in person is a way you can have a conversation with someone in a DM. You can also comment on some of their posts, like their posts, reply to their stories, talk about, hey, really like this picture of you, or how cute is your dog, or hey, this piece of content was stellar. I really liked it, right? The problem with DMs, in my opinion, was people basically ask for someone's hand in marriage in the first DM. That is not how relationships work. We think people who do that are creepy. You may have been on the receiving end of someone who goes straight for the kill in DMs when you don't even know them. You're like, who's this stranger? Why are they bugging me? Why are they cold calling me during dinner? I don't even know them. I'm definitely not going to look at the rest of their message because I'm just weirded out, right? That is the problem with many people's DM approach. If you use DMs as a way to build a relationship, and we're talking about a long game, not an overnight game here, then you will turn those people into qualified leads. By the time you ask, hey, do you want to join my free training? Hey, do you want to get this coupon? Hey, do you want this free guide? After you've built a relationship with them, it's easy for them to say yes. So I will give you an example. Almost everyone on my podcast, I do not know. I have never met before in my life, and I am using social media to build up a relationship with them before I ask them to come on the podcast. Then I get an easy yes, just to give you an example of how that can work. So remember, social media is about building relationships. It is about being social. If you just publish your content and then pray that people will turn into leads and turn into customers, it is unlikely to happen. So think about, if I'm going to be spending time on social media, I need to be engaging on the platform. I need to be talking with people who are engaging with my content. They may comment on something I posted. Great. I'm going to then move the conversation to the DMs and say, hey, what did you like about that piece of content in particular? Is there something that resonated with you? Would you like to see more of a particular type of content? Oh, tell me a little bit more about what you're struggling with. Wow, that sounds crazy. You know what? I can help you with that. If you want to just jump on a free call, we can talk a little bit about it. And I can tell you about a few ways I can help you with it. If I'm not the right person, no worries. At least I can give you some insight into your problem. If I am the right person, then I'd love to work with you, right? So we don't just wait for people to like and comment. We need to be proactive. As Ava Gutierrez, who was also a podcast, says, we need to take ownership over the trajectory of our career. We need to take ownership over the trajectory of our marketing. If we just wait for inbound leads to come our way and like sit back and kick our feet up, the likelihood of that happening is slim to none, especially with a small social media following. None of us in here are Kim Kardashian. We don't have people banging on our door to pay us millions of dollars for a social media post. Almost everyone in here that I know of has a few thousand followers or less. And so it is really up to us to say, how do we take that relationship, that follower relationship, and deepen it? And how do we build stronger relationships with those people so we can then move them into leads and clients? Now, I say all that, and then I say, be authentic, be genuine, be sincere in your desire to build a relationship. You never know where relationships will lead. You never know whether someone's going to become a client or not, or whether they're going to become a partner, or whether they're going to become a referral referral partner for you, whether they're going to open doors for you to be on other people's podcasts, to speak in other places. So don't be that person who, you know, like feels like they're doing all the taking and no giving. I really want you to focus on, if I'm going to use social media to build relationships, I'm not going to go straight in for the kill. I'm not going to be a weirdo. I'm going to try and build an authentic relationship with someone, as Chrissy, our community manager, said in her podcast episode, because I know that if I build an authentic relationship with someone, there will be dividends on the back end of that, whether it's personally, professionally, or in other ways. So in short, be social on social media, use DMs, and also use your lead magnets to turn followers into qualified leads. Okay, guys, I just went on a quick rant. So next up, talking about those new eyeballs that we want you to get. Okay, gosh, I could say a lot about this. So here, we want you to use social media to get in front of new eyeballs. There are so many ways to do this. Paid advertising is one. It's a pay-to-play game. You need to put dollars down in order to get those new eyeballs. You need to have enough of a validated marketing funnel in place to really see a return on that effort. I find if you're not clear on your target audience, if you're not clear on what funnel you're moving them through, this can be a really hard game to play. You need to have tracking in place. Tracking's getting harder, by the way, with growing privacy concerns and growing privacy changes across platforms. Don't get me wrong, I love paid advertising on social media, but I don't think it's for everyone. And it really depends on where you're at in business and how much money you have to spend on experimenting, what your business can afford, what is the cost per lead you can afford, what is the cost per sales appointment you can afford. If you don't know those numbers, then social media advertising is going to be a hard game to play. So that is one way to get in front of new eyeballs on social media. Another way to get in front of new eyeballs on social media is to guest speak, guest teach, get in front of other people's audiences, and then essentially, as Brian Harris calls it, borrow their audiences and move people over into followers of yours. So for example, I guest spoke at a summit about a year ago. A number of you in this group saw me speak at that summit. And you then, at the end of the presentation, I said, hey, here's a lead magnet, and also here's where you should be following me on social media. I then, people spend an hour with me. They like what I have to say, and then they become followers. I've already spent an hour building a relationship with them. I'm doing it in a leveraged way because there's 20, 30, in this case, there were thousands of people on the summit. And then they see me speak, and if they like it and resonate with who I am and my philosophy, they then move into followers, and then I start to build a relationship with them. Okay, so that can be a really nice leverage way, especially if you have a really solid expertise that people want to hear about, which I would say almost everyone in this group does. If not everyone, you just need to figure out who has my audience and serves them in a complementary, not competitive way. And that way you can pitch yourself and start to land those engagements. So that is another way you can get in front of people. A third way is to just spend time searching on the platform, finding new people who fit your target audience, and start up conversations with them, start following them, engage with their content, leverage the DMs, start to build a relationship. If you did that with just a couple people every day of the year, think about how many new people you would have built relationships with on social media 1 year from now. Sounds like a lot of work, but I promise you, if you don't have a lot of money to spend on paid advertising, if you don't have a lot of extra time to go pitch yourself, or you don't have a talk prepared where you can go pitch yourself to speak in front of other people's audiences, this cold outreach can be a really great way to create a more consistent marketing system where you are getting in front of your exact target audience daily and building relationships with them. If you listen to the podcast with Adrienne Weimer on LinkedIn, she talks through this whole system and she speaks about it specifically to LinkedIn, but you can also use it on a number of different social media platforms, what she teaches. And I highly recommend, if you're thinking, gosh, I really need to get in front of new people, but I'm not sure how to, this is a great way to do it. People post a ton of content on social media. They post typically sometimes where they're located, sometimes what their interests are. Sometimes they even post what their job is, if you're, especially if you're on LinkedIn. So there are so much information you can get by kind of silently stalking someone on LinkedIn, Instagram, wherever, whatever your social media poison is, and then say, yes, this person looks like they could fit within my target audience, and then start to strike up a conversation with them. So I'll give you a couple examples. Sales teams do this all the time. They look at, okay, does this person fit my profile? And then they do this outbound approach where they aren't waiting for people to come to them. They're like, I'm going to go search for them. I'm going to strike up a conversation. I'm going to see, can I move this person into a marketing and sales qualified lead? So again, to quote Ava, if you're looking to take ownership over your marketing and the trajectory of your marketing, I think this is a really great place to start. If you're strapped for time and money, which I would argue all of us are in some way, shape, or form, it just looks different for each of us, this is a great way to build relationships. It's likely very different than the way you're using social media. So I encourage you, as you're listening to this, think about, hey, is this different from my current approach? And if you're like, oh, that sounds weird, Lauren, that sounds scary, that sounds whatever, I encourage you to give it a try. Give it a try for 30 days, give it a try for 60 days, give it a try for 90 days, be consistent and see how it goes. You'd be surprised on how just knowing more people and building more relationships within your industry, within your target audience, will open up an exponential number of doors for you in business. Okay, so we have covered three different ways you can get new qualified eyeballs on social media. Let's talk about content for a second, because a key part of social media is content. It's how you build your authority. It's how you build your know, like, and trust factor. And people often struggle with, like, what should I post? And the short answer is there's not like a right or wrong thing to post, but you do want to be posting content within your area of expertise. And you also want to consider posting content around your lifestyle, things you're interested in, because people are connecting with you as a person, not necessarily as a brand on social media, unless you're publishing as a brand. But as a service provider, I find that's a really hard place to start, especially with a small following. So people do business with other people. I'll be really, really frank with you guys. There are certain types of content around my lifestyle that I know my followers resonate with. I was just having a conversation with Chrissy about this morning. People love to see my outdoor adventures. People love to see my dogs, and people love to see my husband. So that is content that I know people really resonate with this. They feel like they know me when they see this type of content. So I make sure to sprinkle that in among marketing content, because not only are they then learning, hey, Lauren is an authority in marketing, but also saying, hey, I like some of the stuff Lauren's into, and it gives them talking points. So I'll give you an example. I just saw someone 2 weeks ago, I hadn't seen maybe in 2 years. And they're like, oh my gosh, I was going to ask you how you're doing, but I feel like I already know that, because I know you go hiking on Saturdays and I see XYZ and I see XYZ. So I haven't seen this person in 2 years. We're not particularly close, obviously, because they were talking about my Instagram and we haven't had personal conversations in 2 years, but they felt like they already knew what I was doing, knew what I was up to, felt like they were catching up to me without even having a conversation. So then we started talking about deeper stuff. So social media is a place to be social. I'll reiterate that again. And part of being social isn't just business. So think about, okay, I need some authority posts that demonstrate my expertise. If you aren't following Karen Sargent, who's in this group, I highly recommend you go check out her Instagram. She is this really stellar authority building posts. Okay, then think about, are there some aspects of my life, not saying your whole life, are there some aspects of my life that I'm willing to put on social media? For me, if I put most of my life on social media, it'd be super boring. Like, no one wants to see me sit in front of a computer screen 8+ hours a day, right? So I'm showing some of my highlight reel, but I'm also showing the things that I know of my lifestyle that people like to see. They like to see me outdoors, right? So think about, maybe you have kids and you don't want your kids on your Instagram or on your LinkedIn profile or on your Facebook profile. Great. You don't have to show that. You don't have to show your whole life. But if you pick one or two areas that you think you know are good talking points for people, I think that's a great place to start. So I was speaking with another client. They have a really interesting interest and hobby in kind of martial arts. And I was saying, that's awesome. People would love to see you do some of that stuff. And that would be a great talking point for you. So use that. But don't have to use your family. You don't have to use anything you're not comfortable with. I personally, just again, to be very transparent with how I use social media, every single post that features my husband, he approves. I don't post anything without his permission that he's in. So think about where your boundaries are on social media, what you're willing to show and what you're not willing to show of your lifestyle. But think about what's going to help someone get to know you better, what's going to help them get to like you, and what's going to help build trust. And when people feel like they know and like you, then they start to trust you. And it doesn't happen overnight. Think about authority building content. Think about content that's going to move people from a follower to a lead. And think about some lifestyle content. Also highly recommend you check out Ava Gutierrez, who's also in this group and was a recent podcast guest. She is a content writer. She does also a fabulous job on social media, demonstrating her authority, just like Karen Sargent. So make sure to check those two people out if you're looking for good examples to model. Another great example would be Jess Hobbs of Social Savvy HQ. Her Instagram is also fabulous. Okay, the last thing I want to talk to you guys about that I think is really important to consider, actually two things, which is what channels should I play on and how many channels do I actually need? So to chat about this, I am going to pull up a couple more slides that I prepared for you. So which channels do I focus on? The truth of the matter is it all comes down to your target audience. Where do they spend their time? Where do they spend their money? And meet them there. When I find people are confused about this question, well, I don't know where my target audience spends their time and money, I would ask you the question of, do you know your target audience well enough? Have you gotten specific enough with your target audience? If you aren't able to answer, hey, I don't know where they spend their time or money, if you aren't able to answer that question, then I would encourage you to do some interviews with your target audience. Jump on the phone, jump on Zoom, ask them where they spend their time and money offline and online in your realm of expertise. So maybe your target audience spends a lot of time on YouTube. Great. That's where you meet them. Although YouTube is arguably more of a search engine than a social media platform. Almost everyone is on Facebook. A lot of people are on Instagram. So you could argue that, yeah, I could go either of those places. But to think about why people are on those platforms. Adrienne Weimer does a really good job of explaining this on her podcast episode. But people are on LinkedIn to do business. People are on Instagram and Facebook, sometimes for business stuff and often for personal entertainment. So it can be easier to be on a platform that's solely around business, depending on your niche, than it can be to move people from social and entertainment to business if you're playing on Facebook or Instagram. However, a neat thing about Facebook is there's lots of very targeted groups. So for example, you may say, well, I'm going to play on Facebook, but I'm going to spend most of my time in groups where my target audience hangs out. If you feel like you do not know your target audience well enough, do two things for me. Jump on calls, jump on Zoom with them, start to interview a few people in your niche. And then write this chart down super quick. Line at the top, line at the right, time, money, online, offline. Just do a brain dump. Where do I think these people spend their time and money? Online, offline. And then look at that and say, okay, which channels do I think I could play on? And then I can encourage you to evaluate them from this standpoint. What are the resources required to play on this channel? What is the time required? What is the money required? What are the people and what are the skill sets? Do I have them? Do I have to learn them? Can someone else on my team do them? Am I going to have to outsource this? And what are the risks? For example, if you don't feel great on video and you don't have any editing skills, I would do one of two things. I would either say, no, I'm not going to play on TikTok because that's not a great platform for me. It's video only. Or I would say, okay, I'm going to play on TikTok, but I'm going to learn from Wave Wild so I can fast track my path to being successful on TikTok, right? Or another example, okay, maybe I'm going to play on Instagram and Facebook, and that's my choice because that's where my audience is. And I want to layer on paid advertising. Well, paid advertising is really complex to do on your own. So I would consider, okay, do I have the budget to outsource that or to learn from someone else who can fast track it for me? When you evaluate channels from this standpoint, because you'll see there's often a lot of social media channels you can start with, but when you evaluate them from this standpoint, it can then become really clear, you know what? I'm so strong at having one-on-one conversations with people. So I'm going to play on LinkedIn because I'm going to use that direct outreach, just like Adrienne Weimer talks about in her episode. And I'm going to just work really hard on that. I'm not going to worry about creating crazy videos. I'm not going to worry about creating beautiful imagery. I'm just going to work on, hey, I can write about my area of expertise and I can have conversations. Great. LinkedIn could be a great platform for you. So from my standpoint, given your current strengths, ask yourself, what channels should I be focusing on now and for the next 90 days? There's this guy named Peter Thiel, and trying to pull up his quote for you, but he is, the founder of PayPal or one of the early investors. I can't remember which because I'm brain fried. Thanks, guys. Sorry. Thanks for your patience. But, you know, he says something that I believe is really profound and really important for us to consider, especially in this world where there is a new social media platform, what feels like every month. He says, if you can get even a single distribution channel to work, you have a great business. If you try for several but don't nail one, you're finished. So it's worth thinking really hard about finding the single best distribution channel. And I would agree, I think this applies to social media. So if you cannot even get a single social media, or if you can get a single social media channel to work, you have a great business. But if you try for several social media channels and don't nail one, you're finished. So it's worth thinking really hard about finding the single best social media channel for you and doubling down on that. As small business owners, we don't have all the time in the world and we don't have huge teams to help us succeed on every platform. So I encourage you to double down on one, experiment with it, optimize it, learn from people who know that channel really, really well, learn from experts, and really nail that one channel. If you do that, you don't need to be everywhere. You don't need to be Gary Vaynerchuk. Like, none of us are Gary Vaynerchuk. We don't have a whole team at our disposal to do that for us, nor do we have endless ad budgets to do that for us. So that's my rant. That's my training on social media, super high level. I'm going to be bringing in a guest expert in a few weeks or so to come talk about one specific social media channel. If you have a preference, make sure to let me know in the poll. I have a few ideas of who I'm going to be bringing in, but I also want to take feedback from you. So your homework, which I will outline tomorrow on the back end of this training, keep an eye out for it in the group. And I really appreciate your time. Hope you're having a wonderful Thursday, and I will see you guys later in the group.
Heck yeah! You just finished another episode of the Marketing That Generates podcast. I hope you found a few takeaways that you can put into action right away. If you want more on today's episode, head over to marketingthatgenerates.com for show notes, links, bonus resources, and related episodes. Plus, if you're looking to connect with other amazing business owners just like you, be sure to join my free community. You can get access at marketingthatgenerates.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you back here next week.